This is Audible.
Audible Frontiers presents Lord of Light, the Hugo Award-winning novel written by Roger Zelazny and read by Victor Bavine.
Chapter 4. It is told how the Lord of Light descended into the well of the demons to make there a bargain with the chief of the Rakasha. He dealt in good faith, but the Rakasha are the Rakasha. That is to say, they are malefic creatures, possessed of great powers, lifespan, and the ability to assume nearly any shape. The Rakasha are almost indestructible. Their chiefest lack is a true body. Their chiefest virtue? Their honor toward their gambling debts. That the Lord of Light went to Hellwell at all serves to show that perhaps he was somewhat distraught concerning the state of the world.
When the gods and the demons, both offspring of Prajapati, did battle with one another, the gods seized upon the life principle of the Udgitha, thinking that with this would they vanquish the demons. They meditated upon the Udgitha, which functions through the nose, but the demons pierced it through with evil. Therefore, with the breath one smells both that which is pleasant and that which is foul. Thus the breath is touched by evil. They meditated upon the Udgitha as words, but the demons pierced it through with evil. Therefore, one speaks both truth and falsehood. Thus words are touched by evil. They meditated upon the Udgitha, which functions through the eye, but the demons pierced it through with evil. Therefore, one sees both what is pleasing and what is ugly. Thus the eye is touched by evil. They meditated upon the Udgitha as hearing, but the demons pierced it through with evil. Therefore, one hears both good things and bad. Thus the ear is touched by evil. Then did they meditate upon the Udgitha as the mind, but the demons pierced it through with evil. Therefore one thinks what is proper, true and good, and what is improper, false and depraved. Thus the mind is touched by evil. Chandogya Upanishad 1:2, 1-6.
Hellwell lies at the top of the world, and it leads down to its roots. It is probably as old as the world itself, and if it is not, it should be, because it looks as if it were. It begins with a doorway. There is a huge, burnished metal door erected by the first that is heavy as sin, 3 times the height of a man and half that distance in width. It is a full cubit thick and bears a head-sized ring of brass, a complicated pressure plate lock, and an inscription that reads roughly, "Go away, this is not a place to be. If you do try to enter here, you will fail and also be cursed. If somehow you succeed, then do not complain that you entered unwarned, nor bother us with your deathbed prayers." Signed, The Gods. It is set near the peak of a very high mountain named Channa, in the midst of a region of very high mountains called the Ratnagaris. In that place there is always snow upon the ground, and rainbows ride like fur on the backs of icicles, which sprout about the frozen caps of cliffs. The air is sharp as a sword. The sky is bright as the eye of a cat. Very few feet have ever trod the trail that leads to Hellwell. Of those who visited, most came only to look, to see whether the great door really existed. And when they returned home and told of having seen it, they were generally mocked. Telltale scratches about the lock plate testify that some have actually sought entrance. Equipment sufficient to force the great door could not be transported or properly positioned, however. The trail that leads to Hellwell is less than 10 inches in width for the final 300 feet of its ascent. And perhaps 6 men could stand, with crowding, upon what remains of the once wide ledge that faces that door. It is told that Panalal the sage, having sharpened his mind with meditation and diverse asceticisms, had divined the operation of the lock and entered Hellwell, spending a day and a night beneath the mountain. He was thereafter known as Panalal the Mad. The peak known as Chana, which holds the great door, is removed by 5 days' journey from a small village. This is within the far northern kingdom of Malwa. This mountain village nearest to Chana has no name itself, being filled with a fierce and independent people who have no special desire that their town appear on the maps of the Raja's tax collectors. Of the Raja, it is sufficient to tell that he is of middle height and middle years, shrewd, slightly stout, neither pious nor more than usually notorious, and fabulously wealthy. He is wealthy because he levies high taxes upon his subjects. When his subjects begin to complain and murmurs of revolt run through the realm, he declares war upon a neighboring kingdom and doubles the taxes. If the war does not go well, he executes several generals and has his minister of peace negotiate a treaty. If, by some chance, it goes especially well, he exacts tribute for whatever insult has caused the entire affair. Usually, though, it ends in a truce, souring his subjects on fighting and reconciling them to the high tax rate. His name is Videga, and he has many children. He is fond of grack birds, which can be taught to sing bawdy songs, of snakes, to which he occasionally feeds grack birds who cannot carry a tune, and of gaming with dice. He does not especially like children. Hellwell begins with the great doorway high in the mountains at the northernmost corner of Videga's kingdom, beyond which there are no other kingdoms of men. It begins there, and it corkscrews down through the heart of the mountain Chana, breaking like a corkscrew into vast cavernways uncharted by men.